morning we have a special book that we're offering to you and your neighbors, and it's called The Truth That Leads to Eternal Life. Now, in this book, it shows that today mankind can look forward to very shortly the paradise on earth. I'd like to share a few scriptures with you if you're interested.
I'm always interested.
Okay. If you take your Bible and turn to Revelation 21, 3 and 4.
That's way back here.
Right.
21, 3 and 4. Okay.
It says, God will wipe out every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither will mourning, nor outcry, nor pain be any more. Now, this is the kingdom that Jehovah's Witnesses are proclaiming throughout the world today. There's going to be a paradise on earth very shortly. And what we offer is a Bible study, a systematic Bible study, and we use this little book right here to teach you what the Bible has to say about this paradise on earth.
And that's all taught in that little book.
Right. It's a systematic study of the Bible. In fact, we go into many different chapters here, like where are the dead and why do we grow old and die?
That's very interesting. Could I look at that?
You sure can.
That's a very nice picture there on the front.
Right. That's the one that I was reading
the scripture
from. That
attracts a lot of people, I'm sure.
Right.
Not
many people realize that we can look forward to a paradise on earth very shortly. With conditions as bad as they are in the world today, we all feel like we need something better.
Well, I'm sure that we do need something better, but don't you think that really Jesus is something better that we all should be looking to?
Well, you know, the Bible tells us in John 17:3 that in order to have everlasting life, we have to take in accurate knowledge of Jehovah God and Jesus Christ. And this is what we're doing. We're teaching people today this accurate knowledge.
Then you would say that it would have to be accurate.
It would definitely have to be accurate. You know, there's many false religions today.
Yeah.
And people,
you would not follow any false religion, would you?
Of course not. In fact, this book tells us to examine our religion.
Yes, I was noticing here on page 13 it tells you, says right here, we need to examine not only what we personally believe, but also what is taught by any religious organization.
That's right.
Which you're part of, Jehovah's Witnesses, right?
Okay, I do not belong to an organization. I'm one of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Which are associated with Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right. Anyone who witnesses for Jehovah is a Jehovah's Witness.
Right. And do you not sell these books?
Right.
Which are put out by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society.
Right.
So you're advocating their material, or you wouldn't be selling, right?
Actually, they're just an organization because the government requires that we have an organization in order to sell our literature.
In order to sell their literature, you must be in agreement with them, or you wouldn't come to my door offering me this book.
Oh, I'm definitely in agreement with
them. That's what I wanted to know. And in here it says, if we're lovers of truth, and I'm sure you're a lover of truth.
Definitely.
You look like an honest person. There is nothing to fear from an examination.
Oh, right. In fact, that's what I'd like to do, is have you examine some of the doctrines that your preacher teaches you.
I'm sure you would. But also, you wouldn't mind if we examine a little bit of yours at the same time, would you?
Of course not. I don't have anything to hide.
I mean, after all, the truth has to stand.
That's right.
Okay. In fact, there was a very interesting last line here. It said, it should be the sincere desire of every one of us to learn what God's will is for us and then to do it. Are you in agreement
with
that?
Oh, that's right. That's why I became one of Jehovah's Witnesses. I was in false religion before, but I found the truth, and that's why I'm serving God today.
Well, let me ask you something. If along your travels you would come to find out that Jehovah's Witnesses were not the truth, I mean, just if, would you change? I mean, would you have to stand firm on the Bible? Let's say that the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society was in definite disagreement with the Bible. Definite disagreement. No question about it. Would you go to and stand firm on the Bible, or would you have to kind of lean towards the Watchtower Society?
I would definitely choose the Bible.
Over man at any time.
That's right, because I'm serving Jehovah God.
Well, that's very commendable. Now, I have a question for you. You don't mind me asking you a few questions, do you?
Not a bit.
After all, that's, you're kind of here to answer my questions.
Well, we love to discuss Jehovah's organization.
That's nice. Okay? That's good. I have one question to ask you. You know, in the Bible, Jesus often asked people, who do you say that I am? And that has been a question all the way down through ages. Different people have different Jesuses.
Yes, I agree with you.
Right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, if we do not have the right Jesus, then we wouldn't really have the right Savior, would we?
Yes, I know what you mean, because, you know, people today, they worship a triune God, and the word Trinity isn't even in the Bible, but many of the religions are teaching that God has three heads.
Wait a minute. Trinity is not in the Bible?
The word Trinity is not in the Bible.
Is the word theocratic in the Bible?
I don't know.
The word theocratic is not in the Bible either, but the principle is. And the principle of Trinity is in the Bible, too.
Well, I'd like to show you right now that there is not a Trinity. If you have the time, I'd be glad to discuss it with you.
I really have the time.
Cool.
You have come across somebody who has the time.
Oh, I would love to discuss
That's
it with
exciting.
You.
That's exciting. Now, what I would like to first ask you, if you don't mind if I ask one at a time, then we can kind of ask back and forth.
Okay, I'll be glad to.
All right? I would like to ask you one thing. Does your organization claim to be a prophet of Jehovah?
Okay. Now, we do claim to be a prophet of Jehovah, but we're a prophet in a sense. Now, if you read the beginning of our watchtower.
Now, wait a minute. A prophet in a sense.
Right.
Would you show me the prophet in a sense?
What do you mean?
There's only true and false. No prophet in a sense.
Well, let me explain something to
no,
you.
See, do you
we're
never
not,
say
we're
that?
Not an inspired prophet. We even write on the front of our watchtower that we are no inspired prophet.
You wrote that on the front of the 1972 watchtower, but you changed it a few months later when you realized that you said you were getting your information from angels directly from heaven. Now, on the front cover, you said you're not inspired. On the inside, you said you were.
I'd like to see that.
You'll have to look that up. That's January Watchtower of 73 is when you changed the heading.
I see.
Very interesting. You have to really check that.
Yes, I will.
But let me share something with you.
Okay.
If you realize that your organization is a prophet, you said a prophet in a sense, there's only
right.
two kinds. True, false. Right? Unless you have a prophet in a sense. I haven't seen it.
Well, you see, we don't have additional revelation. All we're doing is revealing what the Bible already has to say.
In other words, everything that you're telling me is that everything that you have said in the past is in the Bible.
Actually, everything that we say is in the Bible. We do not make any additional revelation.
And if it were not in the Bible, then it would have to be extra revelation.
Right, but we don't claim to have extra revelation.
But you claim to be an inspired prophet.
A non-inspired prophet.
A perspired prophet. But let me share this article with you. I'm sure you have a 72 watchtower at home.
Yes, I do.
Okay, let me share this with you. And in here, this is a little list. Have you ever seen this list before, by the way?
No, but I've heard talk about it.
That's nice. Let me share this with you.
Okay.
In 1972, April 1st of 1972, and I want you to look this up.
I'll be glad to.
And in here, I want you to read the whole article.
Yes, I sure
okay?
will.
And in here it says, so does Jehovah have a prophet to help them, to warn them of dangers, and declare things to come. Revelation. Okay? Not interpretation. It goes on, it says, these questions can be answered in the affirmative. Yes, they do. The next question is, who is this prophet? Don't you want to know? I do.
Yes.
This is a life and death question. I mean, if there's a real life prophet, I want to be in that group. It's a true prophet. I'm sure you do too.
That's right.
Let's go a little further. This prophet was not one man, but was a body of men and women. It was a small group of footstep followers of Jesus Christ, known at that time as International Bible Students. When were they called International Bible
okay,
Students?
Okay, they were called International Bible Students in their beginning. I can clear
well, wait a second. Let me. I know you can clearly straighten this out, but they were known as a prophet clear back when they were called International Bible Students, right?
Yes, according to that.
According to this, this is the Watchtower. Mm-hmm. You believe the Watchtower, don't you?
I definitely do.
Okay. It says, today they are known as Jehovah's Christian Witnesses. Of course, it's easy to say this group acts as a prophet of God. It's another thing to prove it.
Okay, let me clear one thing.
Are you in agreement with that?
Well,
it's another thing to prove it.
Sure.
Anybody can say they're a prophet of God, but it's another thing to prove it, right?
Right. It would have to be proven.
Well, right. I'm in agreement with that. Do you happen to know what the test of a prophet is?
No, I don't.
Do you have your Bible there?
Sure do.
That's a nice looking Bible. Do you mind if I look at that for a moment?
Go right ahead.
New World Translation?
Right. It's the most accurate Bible in print today.
It is.
Yes, they have gone back to the original scrolls and have corrected all the mistakes that the King James Bible has made. You know, there's over 2,000 mistakes in
King
James.
Can I ask you another question just for a second?
Yes.
Who wrote this fantastic Bible? Who were the translators?
Well, I don't know their names. You see, we don't give glory to man, and so therefore none of our literature has the names written on it who wrote it.
I see. Well, you know, many people don't get glory by putting their names on things. Isn't that true?
Yes.
For instance, I'm sure that Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, did they put their names on these?
Sure they did.
Why didn't your translators do that?
Well, because they don't want us to look on them
as
special.
I'm sure those people didn't want any glory. But they were standing behind their words. That's why their names on it. What is this little thing you have in the back here? It looks like a little book.
Yes, that's to help me find scriptures. It's under subject form.
I see. Kind of a little handy-dandy sheet, huh?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Then when I watch you flipping through there, then I'll know what you're doing, huh? Okay, there. That's fine. Would you turn with me to Deuteronomy 18:21?
Okay. Deuteronomy 18:21?
Uh-huh. Do you want to read that?
Okay. And in case, you should say in your heart, how shall we know the word that Jehovah...
Now, wait a minute. And in case. Now, you see, that's not really right, but go ahead.
How shall we know the word that Jehovah has not spoken? When the prophet speaks in the name of Jehovah, and the word does not occur or come true, that is a word that Jehovah did not speak. With presumptuousness, the prophet spoke it. You must not get frightened at him.
Okay, that's close. But the question here is, how many times does a prophet have to false prophesy in order to become a false prophet, according to the scripture here?
It says if he speaks one word that doesn't occur or come true.
Then that would have to qualify him as a false prophet.
Right.
You know, in your magazine here, you have claimed, your organization has claimed to be a prophet of Jehovah, which is a very, very interesting claim. Have you ever, did you realize that they claim that?
Not the kind of prophet that you're speaking about, but I would like to clear something up.
Okay.
You know, Jesus fulfilled the law. Mm-hmm. So actually, we're not under this law right here, the Old Testament.
Oh, I
so
see.
So this scripture right here would not have anything to do with the prophet.
Oh, it wouldn't be. You know, another very interesting thing is in your aid book, you know, you have that big blue book.
Right.
It also refers to that scripture. I mean, is that book wrong?
No, that book's correct.
Well, then, evidently, it must still be in effect. But, if you'd like, why don't you go over and let's see what Jesus says about it. Matthew 7:15.
Okay.
Would you like to, I'll read this one for you, if you'd like.
Okay.
Matthew 7:15.
Okay.
This is Jesus speaking here, and he says, beware of false prophets. Now, he must know they were going to be out there if he's saying beware.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Who come to you in sheep's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, I
do. What do you call yourself when you come to my house?
Well, what do you mean? What do we call ourselves?
Do you consider people in false religion goats?
Well, definitely. Jesus says he's going to put the sheep on one side and the goats on the other side.
What would you consider yourself then?
I'm definitely a sheep.
That's interesting. in here goes a little further and says, you will know them by their fruit.
Right. Now, let me explain something to you.
All right.
You will find that Jehovah's Witnesses have the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering.
Yeah, but wait a minute. You're making a mistake here. You see, we're talking about beware of false prophets. False prophets don't have all of those ingredients, and that's
okay.
What we're talking about.
But fruit is explained in Galatians,
right.
And it tells us that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, and we have those because we don't go to war. We have love among ourselves. We don't kill our brothers. And so, see, Jehovah's Witnesses are the only ones on earth today that have this.
They are the only ones that have that.
Right.
Well, are they the only ones, according to the Scripture, it says, you will know them by their fruit. Who is that talking about? Who will we know by their fruit?
Well, we're going to know the false prophet.
Right. So, would you say the fruitage of a false prophet is the thing that you mentioned?
No.
No. So, in this paragraph, we're not talking about that, are we? We're talking about the fruitage of a false prophet. What is the fruitage of a grapevine? Grapes.
Right.
Fruitage of a peach tree? Peaches. The fruitage of a prophet is prophecy. Right?
Right.
Okay, so we're going to know them by their prophecy. Right? Now look at verse 18. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. If you're a true prophet, you have to be 100% accurate.
Okay, well then we've never made any prophecies.
You haven't?
No, we haven't.
But if you had made a prophecy, you would have to, according to the Scripture, you'd have to be 100% accurate.
Right.
And if you weren't...
Well, we'd be false prophets, but that's unreasonable to even think like that because we haven't made any prophecies.
But if you had made prophecies and they were not true, then you would have to be false prophets. Your organization, not you.
Well, you could
because
say that.
You're one of the sheep.
Okay.
Okay. Now, on this list here, you mentioned that you've seen it before.
Okay. Could you tell me where you got that list?
Yes, I'll be happy to tell you where I've got this list. From the Watchtower Society.
Oh, let me see. They're
you
not
see,
printing
everything
something
on
like that.
This, no, they're not. But everything on this list is Watchtower Society material. You see, every statement on here, for instance, this statement comes out of the book, The Time is at Hand, page 101. That's your book.
Right, it is. It's a very old book.
Uh-huh. Well, here's another one, Studies in the Scriptures.
Right, that's very, very old, too. Why do you always go to our old books?
Well, you know, there are, you know, some real new light down here towards the end, too. And the light does get brighter.
I'm glad you said that. You know, that is true. Our poor brothers might have made a mistake, but the light does get brighter and brighter.
Would you show me that scripture?
If you'll turn to Proverbs, I'll be glad to. 4:18.
Is it 4:18?
Yes.
Okay. Would you read that for me?
Okay. The light, the bright light that is getting...
Now, wait a minute. The bright light.
Right. The light is getting, okay, the bright light that is getting lighter and lighter until the day is firmly established. So you can see that through the years,
wait
you know.
Wait a minute now. Wait 1 minute. Let me look at your Bible. Do you mind?
No, go right
because
ahead.
Because yours doesn't, you know, mine is reading a little bit different than yours is. Proverbs 4:18, see, mine is just a little bit different. Oh, I see. You started on the second line.
Well,
see, you said the light gets brighter and brighter.
Right, it does.
But you go back to the start. It says the path of the righteous one is like the light that continually gets brighter and brighter until the final day.
Yes. Well, see, when our brothers made mistakes, they cleared up the mistakes, you know.
Wait 1 second. Let me ask you one question. Would you say that a false prophet's light would get brighter and brighter?
No, definitely not.
Would have to get dimmer.
Right.
The batteries would run out. Okay. But in here, you bring out, that's the path of the righteous, you brought out the light gets brighter and brighter.
Well, it does.
Only for the righteous.
Okay.
Okay, for a false prophet, it would not.
Okay. But you know that we do, we are allowed to correct our errors.
You're allowed to correct your errors.
Right.
Who told you that?
Well, if you were making a mistake and you found out it was a mistake, wouldn't you correct it?
Well, I would correct it, but you see, there's a difference. I am a human who has never claimed to be a prophet. Your organization has claimed to be a prophet. Now, in the Old Testament, if we would have allowed that privilege of people changing their minds, we'd have not had any false prophets. Every time they'd have got up against the wall, they said, wait a minute, I'll change that. And they'd have just changed right down the line. Because nobody wanted to get stoned to death, right?
Right.
So therefore, we can't change what we've done. Now, Paul brings out, turn to Paul, 1 Corinthians. This is Paul's opinion, okay? 1 Corinthians 7:25. Are you there?
Right.
Okay, it says, now concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. Now you see, Paul took that out of the hands of the Lord. Now Paul said it's going to rain ice cubes outside, and it didn't. What would happen to Paul? Would he be a false prophet?
Well, this is his opinion.
That's right. He'd just be a poor weatherman.
Right.
Right. He would not be a false prophet, because that was his opinion.
Right. He clarified that.
So, if you take it out of the hands of the Lord, that's different. But if you say that this is of the Lord, you better be 100% accurate, just like according to Deuteronomy. Right?
Well, like I told you, we haven't made any false prophecies.
Okay. Would you take another peek at this here?
I'd like to do that.
Okay. I think that you're a sincere person and you don't mind looking. 1889, this is the date that this came out, and if you would, you can just put a little T or an F alongside of these in your mind. The battle of the great day of God Almighty, that's Revelation 16:14, that's Armageddon,
right,
which will end in A.D. 1914 with the complete overthrow of Earth's present rulership is already commenced.
Okay.
Did that happen?
No, but I'm sure that's been taken out of context, because in 1914, that's when Christ made his invisible return and took his rule and reign here on the earth. And so I think that's probably been misquoted. Could I have this sheet of paper?
No, but I'll be more than happy to write these pages down for you so you can go and look them up.
Okay, I'd like to do that, because
but
I think
assuming that I am telling you the truth, just assuming that I am telling you the truth, and we both thought we were honest people, if this is the truth, and this is exactly what I'm saying, what would that be? Would that be a true or false prophecy?
Well, it would be wrong, because Armageddon didn't come in 1914.
It would be a false prophecy, wouldn't it?
If you want to use those words, okay.
What is it when a prophet tells something that doesn't happen?
A false prophet.
Right. He would be a false prophet. Now, in here, is this true or is that false?
That's false.
Okay, then it would have to be a false prophet, wouldn't it?
Right.
All right, now, you know, you said that Jesus returned invisibly in 1914?
Right, he did. He took his rule and reign at that time.
Did he come twice?
Of course not.
Well, according to this is another one of your books, Studies in the Scriptures, Volume 4, page 621.
Right.
It says, our Lord, the appointed King, is now present since October of 1874.
I'm totally unfamiliar with that statement.
He must have come twice. Come once, didn't like it, returned, come back again, 1914?
I'll have to talk to my elders about this.
That would be great. I hope you do that. And have them tell you why that never happened.
Okay.
Okay? Why Jesus changed his mind from 1874 to 1914.
Okay?
Okay. But in any case, he didn't come 1874, did he?
No.
All right, now how about this one? Therefore, we may confidently expect that 1925 will mark the return of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the faithful prophets of old, particularly those named by the Apostle in Hebrew 11, to the condition of human perfection. That's in your book, Millions Now Living Will Never Die.
Well, that's utterly ridiculous, because they're not going to return until after Armageddon. Then they will be resurrected back to the earth.
Well, they're going to be on the earth
Yes, they will be resurrected back to the earth after Armageddon.
They will not be in heaven.
Of course not. Jesus was the first one who went to heaven. There's only 144,000 that will go to heaven.
Well, I know he was the first one that went to heaven, but will they be in heaven?
No, definitely not.
They won't be in heaven. We'll come back to that in a few minutes. But is this true or false?
Well, it's false. Because, of course, we know now that they're not going to come back until after Armageddon.
Hmm. Well, then, you know that this is definitely a false prophecy.
Oh, I know that statement is false, definitely.
Well, the statement is false, which makes it a false prophecy.
Okay.
Wouldn't you think? Now, you know, in this particular statement here, they also built a house in San Diego, California.
Who did?
The Watchtower Society, Judge Rutherford.
Why?
For Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Oh, you've got to be pulling my leg.
Well, I know, but I think that if you look back in your old material around this date, you'll find that they built a house, and the house is called Beth Sarum. It means house of princesses. They were expecting them to come back on earth, and they had to have a place to live. So that was their house, and that's where they were going to live.
That's ridiculous. I can't believe that.
Well, they never showed up. Now there's a Dr. Chan living in there, and he's not Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or David. And in fact, it's even on the deed to be held in trust for these men to come back.
That's ridiculous. I can't hardly believe that. Do you know what? I remember reading something about Beth Sarum now, and they told us that that house was built because Brother Rutherford was ill, and the doctors wanted him to get out of the coal country, and so he moved to San Diego so that it would be better on his health. So maybe you've made a mistake there.
So in other words, the Watchtower Society in 1975, in fact, I'm familiar with that, 1975 they made the statement in their yearbook that that house was built for Brother Rutherford's use.
That's right. I remember that now.
Well, that is not
now.
True, because if you go back a little further and check your history, you'll find out that it was built for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and then when they never showed up, somebody had to live there.
I'd like to read that. I'm going to have to look that information
okay.
up.
Okay, you have your Bible handy. Okay, if that is true, though, that would be a false prophecy, wouldn't it?
Well, because they didn't come back, I guess it would be.
How many do we need to be a false prophet?
One.
Okay, we've had more than one,
yes.
haven't we?
Yes, we
okay.
have.
Okay, go with me to Matthew 8. Just turn over to Matthew, the 8th chapter.
Okay.
And look at verse 11. Look at verse 11.
Okay.
And it says, "And I say to you that many shall come from the east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Now, who's going to be in heaven?
Well,
according to the scripture, not the paper.
Yes.
You know what the Watchtower teaches. But what does the scripture teach about heaven?
That there will be, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be there.
Many will accompany. Right?
Yes, that's what it says.
Now, you know, the thing of it is we know now that Jehovah's Witnesses are false prophets, right?
Well, according to these items here, it looks like they have made some false prophecies.
Well, if they made false prophecies, they would have to be false prophets.
Right, but you know, everybody in the world has done things that are wrong. You look at your churches today, just like I was telling you before, they try to teach the Trinity, and that's wrong. They try to teach there's hell, and that's wrong.
Yes, I realize all those things that you're saying have nothing to do with you, with your organization, false prophesizing, though, does it?
No.
You see, because all these people out here in the world are killing and murdering and doing this and doing that and doing everything else, still does not relieve the responsibility of your organization's false prophesizing.
Of course, they've come closer to the truth than anyone else.
A false prophet is the furthest from the truth, because they lead more people astray than anybody. True?
Well, I have to see what you mean by that.
A false prophet. Do you know anything worse?
I'd like to just explain something.
Okay.
Jonah was a false prophet.
Jonah was a false prophet?
Well, according to the Bible, Jonah made a prophecy that Nineveh was going to be destroyed in 40 days, and it was not destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So he became a false prophet.
Did he become a false prophet?
Well, if you're calling Jehovah's Witnesses false prophets because they've made errors, then you would have to be calling Jonah false prophet.
I suppose you think that there are other false prophets involved here, too.
Oh, I could give you a list of them. Look at Peter. He denied Christ 3 times.
Okay. Go to Jonah 3:10.
Okay.
Jonah 3:10.
Okay, Jonah 3:10.
Would you read that for me?
And the true God got to see their works that they had turned back from and their bad ways, and so the true God felt regret over the calamity that he had spoken of causing to them, and he did not cause it.
So who changed his mind?
Well, God did.
God changed his mind. That's the difference. God changed his mind. He felt sorry for the people. Everyone repented. So God was showing his mercy. In fact, even in the A book under Jonah, that's exactly what it says in your own organization.
Okay, then what about Peter? Now, he denied Christ 3 times. He surely became a false prophet then.
Yes, but if he would have not denied Christ 3 times, Christ would have been the false prophet.
Well, you know, if you look at a lot of the people like Moses, he was kept out of the territory that he was supposed to go into.
You see, let me explain one thing to you. All of these things that you're bringing up are all on the exterior. The main thing is your organization has false prophesying. True?
Well, so what's the crime of following a false prophet?
Well, in Kings, 1 Kings, 13th chapter, if you'll read that, you'll find that there's a prophet there, a true prophet, that goes through the city, and the Lord tells him not to eat and to go home a different way. So he goes and he does exactly what the Lord tells him. He falls asleep. And then a false prophet gets on his mule and he rides around and he comes up and he gets and he finds the true prophet sleeping, and he says, "The Lord told me you can come and eat at my house and stay at my house," overriding the other prophecies. So this person, now he was a true prophet, but he was innocently deceived. He gets on his thing and he mule there and he rides away and he goes and he eats, and guess what? He dies, just like the Lord said, because he didn't follow it. He didn't follow what the Lord told him. Also in Jeremiah.
Yeah, but he was innocently deceived.
That's right.
And he still died?
Right. That's what happens to the people who follow a false prophet.
They're going to die also?
Right. Besides, not only that, but what happens to people who go around teaching untruth? Do you not also have the blood of the multitudes on your hands?
Of course. You must teach the truth.
You have to teach the truth. And one truth that you're not teaching is who Jesus is, besides being a false prophet.
Well, if you want to get on the Trinity, I'll be glad to explain that to you.
I'd love to.
Okay, let me show you some scriptures that prove who Jesus is.
Okay,
you know,
could you please do that?
Your religion always teaches that Jesus has 3 heads. Well, Jesus was
not...
Not
3 heads.
Well, you call him a three-headed God. You call
him a three-headed God. We call it the Trinity. You call it theocratic, we call it the Trinity. Neither one's in the Bible.
Okay, let me share some scriptures with you, okay? If you'll turn to John first.
John?
I'll show you where Jesus is not equal with God.
All right.
It's 14:28.
Now what's 14:28?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
14:28. Okay, there I am.
Okay, it says, "You heard that I said to you, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going my way to the Father, because the Father is greater than I am." So Jesus is telling us right there.
Greater than I. Okay. Greater than I.
I am.
Okay. Greater than I. But, okay, so that's fine. Now,
okay.
What else?
Okay, then would you turn to Colossians 1:15? I want to show you where Jesus was the firstborn.
Firstborn, huh?
Right.
Colossians what?
1:15.
1:15. Okay. I'll hold these places because I'm not forgetting you. I want to answer your questions.
Okay, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Okay, I still have a couple more I'd like to take you to, especially this new one, is Mark.
You mind if you've given me two, can I answer two?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go back to the first one that you gave me.
Okay.
John 14, 28.
Okay.
Okay, now, if you read that again, it says, "You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." Not better, greater.
So
there is a
tremendous difference
between greater and better.
What's the difference?
President Ford is greater than I am, but he is not better.
What do you mean by
in
better?
In relationship to his position. You see, that time the Father was greater because he was in the Father's position and the Son was in the Son's position. Just like Joseph, Jesus is earthly Father.
Right.
Because of the Father position under the law, the Son is in subjection to the Father. Joseph was also greater than Jesus because of his position, but not better.
Okay, then answer me Colossians. It
okay.
says right here, he was the firstborn of all creation. So
okay.
Jehovah first created Jesus,
no,
and then
no,
he created
that's what
everything
you,
else.
No, now that's what you say. But you see, as we read that again, he is the image. You know, when you get an image off of a mirror, that is an image, an exact. An image is an absolute exact. A rubber stamp. Okay? That's one thing. And a little further on, it says, of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation.
Right.
Very interesting. Firstborn, not first created.
Well,
there's
firstborn.
A difference. Firstborn and first created. Firstborn is not always in regard to birth. It's in regard to preeminence or position. Okay? For instance, let me share something here with you. If you'll go to Genesis 25:31.
Okay.
Genesis 25:31. Okay? But Jacob said, "First sell me your birthright." You see, if you can sell the position, you see the significance there?
Yes.
Showing that it can be bought.
This says, sell me first of all your right as firstborn.
Yeah, firstborn, right. You see, you can't sell your position if that is a birth. If it's a birth, you can't sell it. But if it's a position, it can be sold, can be transferred. Okay, let's go one more. Go to 1 Chronicles 5:1.
Okay.
5:1. Read that for me.
And the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn.
Okay, you see now, he was the firstborn.
Okay.
Right? Okay, go ahead.
But for his profaning the lounge of his father, his right as firstborn was given to the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, so that he was not to be enrolled in genealogy for the right of the firstborn.
Read verse 2.
For Judah himself proved to be superior among his brothers, and the one for leader was from him. But the right as firstborn was Joseph.
You see that? You see how the birthright, the firstborn or the birthright, can be transferred.
Yes, I see what you mean.
You see? So it is not. Now if you read this over again, and instead of putting firstborn, put preeminent. And he is the image of the invisible God, the preeminence of all creation.
Why would you put preeminence?
Oh, because firstborn is not in respect to his birth.
Oh, I see.
You see?
Okay. How about Mark 13:32?
How about
32?
Reading verse 16?
Okay. Because by means of him all other things were created in the heavens and upon the earth, the things visible and the things invisible. No matter whether they are thrones or lordships or governments or authorities, all other things have been created through him and for him.
You see, now do you see there's a little something different in yours than it's in mine? The difference is little brackets around the word other.
Right, that's been put there to clarify the image.
Okay, if it clarifies it, it would have to amplify the exact meaning, not mean the opposite.
Right, yes.
If, for instance, we were moving in this building right here and I said, everything over there goes outside in the truck, then we would know everything went.
Right.
But if I said everything other than that piano, we would move the piano, so they mean different things.
Yes.
Okay? Read your sentence there again.
The whole thing?
It says, for in him all things, not all other things. All things is everything there. All other things means there's something that is not there. Different meaning.
Okay.
Now, if he is of prime position or first position, then read that again and leave the other out. Leave the word other out and read that.
Because by means of him all things were created in the heavens and upon the earth, the things visible and the things invisible, no matter whether they are thrones or lordships or governments or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him.
See? Not all other things. There's a difference.
I'll have to check that out.
Well, in the Greek, other is not in there.
I can tell it's not in there because there are brackets around it.
If it means the opposite and it doesn't clarify it, which that wouldn't, if it's other or all, then it would mean the opposite, wouldn't it?
Right.
So either it's incorrect or it's correct. And if it's not in the original, then you're adding two.
Well, like 17 says, also he is before all other things, and by means of him all...
No, not before all other things. Your little things in there again. He is before all things. He is the first, the last, the beginning, and the end.
Okay, what if I could show you a scripture where the Son doesn't even know what the Father's thoughts are? What would you say about that?
Well, I would like to see that.
Okay, Mark 13:32.
Now, what was that again that you were saying to me?
Mark 13:32.
No, but about the Father?
That the Son does not know some of the things that the Father knows.
Okay, I'd like to see that.
Okay. Concerning that day or the hour, nobody knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father. So that shows there has to be a difference.
The Father. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. Only the Father knows. Who is the Father?
Jehovah is the Father.
He's the only Father.
Right.
How about in Isaiah 9:6? A son is born to us, mighty God. Right?
Right.
And so on. And then there is where his name is called Eternal Father, Everlasting God.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, well, I'll have to share that with you. But before I do that, I want to go one other step. You said that only God knows thoughts, right?
Right.
Okay, I want to share this with you. If you turn to 1 Kings 8:39.
Okay.
1 Kings 8:39.
Okay.
Okay, would you read that for me?
Yes. Then may you yourself hear from heaven your established place of dwelling, and you must forgive and act and give to each one according to all his ways, because you know his heart. For you yourself alone well know the heart of all the sons of mankind.
You yourself alone.
Right.
You didn't pass that to anybody else, did
he? I agree with that. Only Jehovah can read our hearts and our minds.
Okay. If only Jehovah can read your heart and your mind, he didn't say, well, I'll pass that off to Jesus, did he?
No.
He said, only Jehovah knows the heart and thoughts, right?
Right.
Okay, go to Hebrews 6:18. Hebrews 6:18.
Okay.
You there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, this is one that you really enjoy.
Right.
Isn't
this is
it?
Very important.
This
we even
is
have
very
a book
important.
Named this.
Right. Okay.
In order that, though two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to the refuge may have strong encouragement to lay hold on this hope set before us.
In other words, God is saying that he will not lie.
Definitely. God
so
says
we can
not
really
lie.
Rest assured on that, right?
Right.
Right. And if God said that He's not passing that off, if He's the only one who knows the heart and mind of people, right?
Right.
And God can't lie.
That's right.
So He didn't give it to Jesus, did He?
No, He didn't.
Okay? Now, let's just turn a little bit more. Go to Luke 5:22. Luke 5:22.
Okay.
Okay, let me read that for you. But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts?"
Wow, I've never seen that.
Now there's Jesus reasoning. He knows that they're reasoning in their heart. Now remember, God can't lie. God's the only one who knows the heart.
So by this you're saying then Jesus is God.
Not only by that. Let's go a little bit more, okay?
Okay.
Go over to Matthew 9:4. Matthew 9:4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why are you thinking evil in your hearts?"
I was not aware of this either.
Now God can't lie. And He's the only one that can read the mind and the heart.
I agree with that.
Here Jesus
is
doing
that.
Okay, let's go one more. Revelation 2:23.
Okay.
Revelation 2:23. You want to read that?
Okay. "And her children I will kill with deadly plagues, so that all the congregations will know that I am He who searches the inmost thoughts and hearts, and I will give to you individually according to your deeds."
Now, who is that?
Well, this is Jesus.
That's right. That's Jesus. He who searches the minds and hearts.
Well, you have really raised some questions in my mind. I just, you know...
Have I raised any in your heart?
Well, I guess you could say that, but you know, what I'm just wondering...
Would you really like to know who Jesus is? Because you know one thing, that He is not Michael the Archangel. Go to Hebrews 1:6. Hebrews 1:6. I'll start with 1:5.
Okay.
It says, "For to which of the angels did He say, 'Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee, and again I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son of me'?"
Wait a minute, mine doesn't say that.
Well, I'm sure yours doesn't, but we've already found out those little brackets and all those other things really change the Bible, don't they?
Yes.
You sell a King James Bible, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you look in that, because that'll say the same thing. Okay? A little further on in verse 8, would you read that for me?
"But with reference to the Son, God is your throne forever, and the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness."
You see, in mine it says, "But of the Son, He says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Jehovah is calling Jesus God. He says, "Thy throne, O God."
Can I read that out of yours?
Sure.
"But of the Son, He says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." You mean God is calling the Son God?
Right.
I will have to check this out. That is
interesting. Fine.
But you know what? I have always believed that Jehovah's Witnesses have the truth. And if they don't have the truth, with all of the things in your religion that are not right, I just can't see where there would be any truth today. This isn't. I just don't know where the truth is.
Okay. Turn to John 14:6.
Okay.
Want to read that?
"Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
So, how do we get to Jesus?
We have to go to Jesus.
We have to go to Jesus and by Jesus. Right?
Right. Well, He's my ransom sacrifice.
Yes,
I believe
He's your
that.
Ransom sacrifice, but you remember Jesus said, who do they say that I am? You had the wrong Jesus. Have you ever been born again?
I don't know what you mean.
You know, it says, you must be born again.
That's only for the 144,000, the ones that are going to heaven.
You want to go to John 1:12?
Okay.
In John 1:12, you want to read that out of my Bible?
Okay. But as many as received him...
Wait just a second. Did it say 144,000 there? Because I missed it.
No, it says as many.
As many. No number.
To them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name.
Do you believe in his name?
Yes, I believe in Jesus' name.
Do you believe in the real Jesus?
Well, I don't know what you mean.
Do you believe that Jesus is Jehovah?
No, I don't.
Okay, turn over just a little bit more. Could Jehovah, who raised Jesus from the dead?
Well, Jehovah did, of course.
Couldn't be anybody but Jehovah, could
No,
it?
Because, see, if Jesus was Jehovah, then Jesus would be dead.
Okay,
and
but
God
it could
cannot
not be
die.
Anybody but Jehovah.
Right, only
okay.
Jehovah.
Turn just one little page over there to John 2:18.
Okay.
You want to read that for me again? Right, just read it right out of there.
The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "What sign do you show to us, seeing that you do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up."
Who will raise it up?
Well, so he's going to raise the temple, so what?
Read a little further.
The Jews therefore said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?
Read the next line.
But he was speaking of the temple of his body.
What did he raise up?
His body.
Who raised it up?
This says Jesus did.
Read yours.
Okay, what was that?
2:18.
Therefore in answer the Jews said to him, "What sign have you to show us since you were doing these things?" In answer Jesus said to them, "Break down this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Therefore the Jews said, "The temple was built in 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was talking about the temple of his body.
Okay.
I never realized that.
Well, you see, now you told me that was Jehovah, didn't you?
Yes.
And who is it?
Well, Jesus.
Right. Now, if that is Jesus, then is not Jesus Jehovah?
Well, it sure sounds like it. But that doesn't do anything. That only gives me two people of the Trinity. You say there's three people in
okay.
the Trinity.
Okay. If you search a little further, you'll find out that the Holy Spirit also raised Jesus.
Oh.
And if you search a little further, you'll find out that Jehovah also raised Jesus.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, I want to share one other thing with you. Turn to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and the 3rd verse. You say that your devotion is supposed to be to Jehovah. Right?
Right. I only worship Jehovah.
Okay. I wonder if Paul thought the same way.
2 Corinthians 11, what?
Start with 3. It says, "But I am afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds," not your heart, but your mind, "should be led astray from the simplicity." It's very simple.
Mine says sincerity.
Uh-huh. Well, simplicity and purity of devotion to Jehovah?
No, that are due to Christ.
Well, see, yours that are due to Christ is a little bit different than this. But it's purity of devotion to Christ, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay? Look at verse 4. "For if one comes and preaches another Jesus..." Did you have another Jesus?
Well, we did.
Michael the Archangel, you found out that couldn't be an angel, right?
Right.
Okay. So you had the wrong Jesus. "Whom we have not preached, or receive a different spirit, who you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you bear this beautiful." Now go to verse 13. It says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguised himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds."
Wow, that's pretty strong.
Okay. Now, the thing of it is, if you can be a child of God, according to John here, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you get if you're a child of God? It says, as many as believe on His name. You believe in His name?
Yes, I believe on His name.
Okay, turn to Romans 8:16. In fact, go to Romans 3:23 first. Okay, are you there?
Yes.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift. You didn't have to do anything for a gift. If you had to do something for a gift, it's no longer a gift. By His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Okay, now let's go over here to Romans 8:16. Read the 14th verse there. Start with the 14th verse and read that for me.
For all who are being led by the Spirit of God.
How many? 144?
No, all.
All.
These are the sons of God.
Now, you know how you become a son of God? By accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you become a son of God. Wouldn't you like to be a son of God?
Well, definitely.
It doesn't say that just certain people. It says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Would you like to be a son of God?
Yes, I'd like to be a son of God.
Okay, and in here it says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, if you ask God to come into your life, then you'll become a child of God.
It's just that simple.
Just that simple. Simplicity.
Well, what about faith without works is dead?
What is work?
Well, doing God's will.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Well, we'll look that one up in a minute. Down here it says, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs of Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Don't you want to be glorified with Christ?
Of course I'd like to be glorified.
Okay. Then therefore, what we have to do is accept Christ as our Savior. Just that simple. Now, if you accept Christ as your Savior, you become a child of God.
And it's just that simple.
Just that simple. And you mentioned works. Turn to John 6:29. And this one, I'll share with you. And you see what works this is, okay? See if you can handle this work.
Okay.
John 6:29. Okay? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He has sent. What is the work of God?
Believing in Jesus Christ.
Do you work? Is that your work? Or
well,
is your work selling watchtowers?
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to continue to be that.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. To return to the main menu, press 0. You may leave us a message by pressing 099. Or, if you would rather speak to us in person, you may call us on our cell phones. For Mo's, dial 717-656-9576. For Don, dial 717-606-2811. For Jeff, dial 423-618-9491. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 088. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 077. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.